Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. For expert advice on love and relationships, you can submit your questions online at AskDrLove.com or post comments and questions to Dr. Love while you're watching live over Google Hangouts or YouTube. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it is my pleasure to be with you today with a really amazing topic. It's called The Fun of Staying in Touch. And my guest, Roberta Grimes, is such a dear friend, and she's an awesome woman. She's actually a business attorney by profession. She's a novelist, she's a speaker, and she's based out of Austin, Texas. And she had two extraordinary experiences of light when she was a child. And in an attempt to understand her experiences, she spent decades studying nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from the dead and other afterlife-related evidence that eventually enabled her to assemble an in-depth understanding of who and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. And Roberta has learned so much about the death process and the period immediately following death that in 2012 she published a brief summary of the best information called The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next. And her second book about the afterlife, The Fun of Staying in Touch, documents the many ways in which the dead contact us and the wonderful recent research that is making it easier for us to contact them. So, without further ado, let me introduce you to Roberta, and we'll talk about all of her other projects and endeavors as we get into the show. Are you with me, Roberta?
I am, Jamie. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I always love having you. You have such a bubbly, adorable, loving personality. Now, you know, when I was reading your bio here for introducing you, I noticed that it said the second book will document the many ways, and I changed it to documents the many ways because that book out now, so you want to fix that bio, because you now
and
you're promoting it now.
It's happening so fast for me that I can't even keep up with myself at this point.
I know you're just too sexy for myself. No. So, what are your dead relatives telling you about overworking? We were just talking about that before we went on air.
Well,
I'm telling you, girl, you need to rest your bones, or you're not going to make old bones, right?
I think that that's one of the things we learn as we get older. When we're, 30, we feel that we have infinite energy, and when we're 60, we feel that we still have infinite energy. Only the difference is when we try it, we actually don't have the energy we had at 30. So, you and I are both learning to sort of slow down a little bit, and but that's okay too.
Yeah, you learn when you fall flat on your butt.
Right.
So let's talk about this topic because, you know, this is a topic that people are so fascinated with and don't understand very much. So tell everybody, why is communication between the dead and the living so difficult?
Well, you have to understand how reality is constructed. And this is something which we all have to sort of study individually because mainstream scientists still believe that reality is a clockwork, material, nothing spiritual at all situation, when in fact reality is entirely spiritual. So it's hard. We've got to do it ourselves. When we do construct reality as it actually is, what we find is that everything is in the same place. The dead are exactly where we are. It's very much as all the TV channel signals are in the same room where you are. And right now, the TV, which is your mind, is tuned to this level of reality, and in fact to that body on this level of reality. When you die, all that happens is that TV, which is your mind, tunes to a higher channel but in the same place and picks up.
Isn't that amazing that you're using that same metaphor? Because I've been saying this for a while, that to talk to and communicate with those in spirit, you just have to learn how to tune your channel to your TV to a different channel. So your brain is your TV, and you just tune to a higher channel. It's exactly the same thing you're saying. Isn't that neat?
Well, the funny thing is it's true. So
that's
not surprising. We would come up with that.
We would use the same analogy because that's the only way I could explain it. And the idea that, I didn't know anything about this, and I'm not coming at it as a scholar. I'm just coming at it from my own experience and what Jean has told me, death is an illusion. There's a very thin veil between the realm where you are and the realm where I am. The veil is thinner than you can ever imagine. I'm standing right here. So this is basically, I'm just hearing him tell me the news, you know?
Yes. In fact, the earliest analogy of this type that I've read was probably transmitted by a dead person in 1910, 1915.
Right.
There was no TV then. They used radio. They said it's
there,
like,
you go,
all these radio stations, and right now you're tuned to this one, and then you'll tune to a higher one. This, in fact, is how it works. And for the dead to communicate with us, they generally have to lower their vibratory rate close to what we are at, which is why, you know, people will say, well, I can't hear from my mother. Why? Well, it may be that she is not interested necessarily in communicating with the living at that point, because there's so much more to do in the afterlife. It's just such a happier, more joyous place. Some people just don't want to deal with this level of reality anymore. But when we call to them, they can hear us calling. And so very often, you know, they will lower their vibratory rate enough to be close to us. But still, they don't have material bodies, and they don't, unless they're fairly powerful, they don't have much ability to really connect with us unmistakably. This is something they have to, believe it or not, be taught. There are lessons you can take in the afterlife in how to not just lower your vibratory rate, and also how to use your mind. Their minds are much more powerful than ours are. How to use your mind to influence material reality so that you can give signs to those.
So this is an interesting point, because what you're saying is, they need help too. And as I say in Love Never Dies, we can actually help them. They don't only have to take lessons in the afterlife, in the lower your vibration school, to connect with those on the earth plane. We can actually make it easier for them to come through to us. You agree with that?
Absolutely. And I think it's important for people to know that. The most important thing that any of us can do if we want to be able to have an ongoing relationship, which many people, like you, Jamie, many people have an ongoing relationship with loved ones.
Yes.
But the most important thing we can do is to satisfy ourselves that they've survived and get our grief tamp down. Because one of the biggest barriers there is to really being able to communicate effectively with the dead is grief. How's that?
Absolutely. Exactly. And now I use, in Love Never Dies, the analogy of radio and TV signals being blocked by intense emotions, just the way atmospheric storms block the sending and receiving of TV signals. So
well,
if we're,
that's exactly right. You're
there you go.
Right.
So if we're to we block the sending and the receiving of signals. We block them. As much as we block ourselves, we block them. And then I also use the analogy of, like, let's say your grief puts you in a dark tunnel of despair, right? But you might be receiving many, many messages. Think about
That's
a cell
right.
phone, right?
That's
Calls
right.
are coming into your cell phone, but you don't perceive it because you're in a dark tunnel. As soon as you come out of the dark tunnel, there are your signals. And you realize you were receiving lots of messages on your cell. You just had to come through the tunnel.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right that it's not difficult to do this. It just requires that we empower ourselves by blocking this negative energy. And there are all kinds of negative energies. Hatred, anger, any of those emotions also will get in the way. But it turns out the worst one, the most powerful negative energy, is grief. So
yes,
that's,
totally
that's
blocks you. And it's so paradoxical and diabolical, because at the moment when you need to connect the most when your doors and windows to your heart are shut.
That's right. That's right.
It's so sad, right? So, but this is like it's a paradox, because the reconnection transforms the grief to joy instantly. But if you're so grief-stricken that you can't send and receive signals, you're blocked.
That's right.
So this is where you have to, what I say is, you have to learn how to give yourself a moonstruck moment, which is you snap yourself out of being too hysterical. Don't let yourself get washed overboard, because you can be sad but still be in command of yourself, because you know that if you're too upset, you're going to block.
I think that the best way for people to get past that extreme, really negative energy of grief is to empower yourself with information. There is plentiful information about the fact that the dead survive. That's what my book, The Fun of Dying, is about. And many people, I've heard from a lot of people who have said, wow, now I feel a lot better now that I know that he or she is okay, and I'm going to start the process of communicating if I can.
Just that, yes. It's such a relief.
It's not just my book. There are lots of books. And one of them will resonate with you, and one of them, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, keep reading until you begin to find one that actually touches your heart, gives you conviction that your loved one is fine, because you'll find you'll still be sad. I mean, you can never get over the loss, really get over the
physical loss.
Yes, of someone you love. That person isn't in your direct life anymore, but you can have that person in your spiritual life very intensively once you get past the grief.
Absolutely, well said. Absolutely. And I have observed that they really bang down the doors to let us know they're okay, that they really want us to know that. That's one of their first orders of business, because they're really trying to help us not be so grief-stricken, and the message being, you know, listen, I want you to know I'm out of pain. I'm all right. I'm good now.
Yeah.
So the idea being, you don't have to be so, so sad, because be happy for me. I'm out of my poor, miserable body. Or I'm not suffering anymore, you know?
Yes, absolutely. No,
it's,
but just people need to also respect those that they love who've gone ahead of them. Convince yourself that he or she is fine, but then don't demand attention. Don't be needy emotionally. Instead, invite them into your life. I mean, my mother died 2 years ago. It's first now that I can feel that she wants me to go to a medium, and so I've arranged that to talk to her. I knew she needed to settle in there, and I respected that need on her part.
But you know, with Love Never Dies, I show you don't need a medium or a channeler or a psychic.
I know.
You can do it.
You're way over me, my dear. I still need the medium.
You're just totally, the whole thing of it, even people who thought that they needed mediums, they practice the exercises, and they don't have, but you know, I know you're busy, so maybe you can't practice the exercises.
No, I I'm used to talking to mediums because I did so much research when I was preparing The Fun of Dying. I did research with a lot of mediums. And I'm someone who came to believe that they're probably all charlatans. It really took me, Dr. Gary Schwartz's wonderful book, The Afterlife Experiments, came out in 2003. It wasn't until then that I even believed mediums were anything but charlatans. But there are some very good mediums.
It is a way of fast-tracking the reconnection. But my whole mission is to say to people, you really can do this yourself so that you don't have to have those training wheels if you want. You can establish your own reconnection and get better and better at sending and receiving communications. It gives you more independence, you know.
I think that's one of the things that we're right on the threshold of, and you're helping to lead that charge. People are comfortable now. Most people, I think, are beginning to be comfortable with the fact that our lives are eternal. Mm. And they're beginning to be comfortable with the fact that there are a lot of ways to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're doing, and a few others like Craig Hogan are doing, is to say, look, when you have learned how to do this on your own, you're free of being tied to anything other than your love for that person.
Yes, and
that's
then you
wonderful.
Just have to reestablish a direct relationship, and there's such a peace in that, because now I'm not dependent on, I got to wait for this appointment or that appointment, and you're really just accepting the fact that death is an illusion and that there is this thin veil, and I'm just going to communicate with you directly, and we're going to pierce the veil together. And what a lovely continuation.
Oh, yes.
You know?
It's eternal. That's the most important thing for people to. Your mind is eternal. It never began. It never will end.
And exactly.
The love of your loved ones is also just as eternal.
Absolutely. And it's not like just, the love in your heart. People think, it's just you hold them in your memories. It's way beyond that. They are here. You know, Jean said to me right after he left his body, what makes you think the realm where you are isn't the illusion and the realm where I am isn't the reality?
A lot of them say that. A lot of them will say that. They'll say where you are is not real. Where I am is real. Now, we think of the dead and we think they must be in this vague, shadowy place. No.
He's telling us, get real, Jamie,
where
I am is real. Roberta, I have to take a brief break, but I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Dr. Love's Quickies.
Wondering how to tell the difference between love and lust? Poor Mark. Every time he takes a woman to bed, he ends up scratching his head. His big head, I mean. How can he tell if he's in love or only in lust? Time. Lust usually fades in a few weeks while true love lasts. So when it comes to gauging if you're in love or only in lust, remember, you can't trust lust. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
You are listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Ask Dr. Love is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have, or submit a question to her free advice column. You can also watch this broadcast live over Google Hangouts or YouTube. Sign up for her newsletter at AskDrLove.com to be the first to know about her upcoming radio shows. And find out how you can watch her live and ask her questions in real time. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you. So take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listeners. So if you have a question for her, make sure to watch live on Tuesdays from 1 to 2 Eastern Time on Google Hangouts or YouTube. Or catch the archived broadcast on WebTalkRadio.net. Now, back to Dr. Love.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking with my wonderful, beloved friend, Roberta Grimes. She's the preeminent afterlife researcher, and we're talking about her latest book, The Fun of Staying in Touch. And so, Roberta, this is another thing that you alluded to before we took the break. And by the way, this is my quickie segment, so we got to be short and sweet. It's a very short segment. Two, 6 minutes. So maybe we can just tackle this one, because you alluded to the fact that some people who are deceased don't wish to communicate or can't communicate. Well, before you said they can't, but some don't want to. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, sure. They're still the same people they were when they were here.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. And this frankly disappoints many people who have recently died. They think they'll suddenly be enlightened, but they're not.
Yes.
And there could be a number of reasons why they won't communicate. For example, my father was, when I was researching with mediums, he would often be described, and every medium would say he won't communicate. I didn't know why. 20 years after his death, he came to my daughter, who was coincidentally going to a medium because she was curious about this stuff. She went to a medium, and the medium had my father come through, and he said, "Will you please tell your mother and her sister that I'm very sorry I messed up their childhood."
Yeah.
This notion.
Hear that a lot. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed. I messed up. I screwed up.
Yeah,
that kind of.
And so that's just one of the many reasons why they might not be communicating with you in particular right now. And we need,
because they feel shame.
Yeah.
Now, Roberta, I have observed in many cases, you know, because since I discovered I could hear Jean, I started hearing them all, and I discovered that their spiritual growth and development requires them to make peace with us.
Yeah.
Because they need to take ownership of where they went wrong. They need to progress by saying, "I messed up, and I need you to work this out with me, and I want you to be okay, and I want you to be in peace with me." And so it's not only my development that requires it, but I have a great need to make things right with you. And
that's
so they'll often come through in that way saying, "I'm sorry, I messed up, I really screwed up." We hear this a lot.
Yes.
But you're saying sometimes in the very beginning they might be too ashamed to even come through. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, it seems to have taken him 20 years of Earth years. So of course, time is different there.
Right.
To come to the point of even asking for forgiveness. But I hear from people all the time, as I know you do as well, who are being bugged by their dad. In some cases, there was one recent case, a father had been a horribly abusive man, almost killed the son. And the son, after he died, the son said he wouldn't leave me alone. He was after me all the time that I had to forgive him, or he couldn't go on.
Yes, so, hear this. Yes,
which is one of the great things about your book, Love Never Dies. You show people how to establish those communications and make the peace that you and they both need. You need to forgive them as much as they need you to forgive them.
Yes, and you know, traditional Western grief therapy leaves us SOL because the idea is, well, they died, it's too late. And the fact is, you know, I always say to people, listen, often you have to wait until they leave their bodies in order to work it out. Because even if they are the same person, as we know, at least they have a little more awareness at the very minimum of where they went wrong, and they have a need to work it out with us in order to progress spiritually. So many, many times we can't work it out with them until they're out of their bodies.
Yeah, but this is a very important, frankly, I didn't realize this till relatively recently, and Love Never Dies was interesting to me for many reasons, one of which is it's the best, frankly, true love story I've ever read. But in addition to that, it got me thinking about this right after I got that strange message from my father. And after I met this man who had been so abused in childhood, it all came together for me then, and it made me understand that this was something I had not realized was really, really important. We need to learn to forgive because forgiveness is always for yourself. It's never for the other person. But even beyond that, we need to forgive because otherwise we hold them in thrall. And they can't really leave the vibration level of the earth until they can feel free of the guilt that they now feel over what they did. They understand they hurt us, but we have to let that go and forgive them, no matter what they did.
Well, you know, one of the things that helps so much, you know, I'll never forget. Well, I have to take a break, but when I come back, I'll tell you a little story that was so powerful. And I'll just return in one moment.
You are listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Love's latest Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about this book and even read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, make sure to watch live over Google Hangouts or YouTube, where you can submit your comments or questions and connect with Dr. Love in real time. Or listen to the archived show at webtalkradio.net. This show is for you, the listeners, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking with my beloved friend, afterlife researcher, practicing attorney, dear, dear soul, Roberta Grimes, author of The Fun of Staying in Touch. So, Roberta, we were talking about how we need to work things out with those in spirit. And I have a patient who had the biggest grudge toward her mother. And her mother had been out of her body for decades, and she still maintained this horrible grudge.
Oh, my.
But we used my dialoguing with the departed technique, and all she would say is, I have a boatload of anger and a boatload of anger. And what I did with her, which ended up to be the most transformative experience, when her mother came through and we started the dialogue, I asked her to, for a moment, step into her mother's shoes and speak as though she were her mother. And as she allowed her mother to speak through her, so she was sort of like channeling her mother's message about why her mother felt the way she felt, why she did what she did, my patient instantly was healed. She said, I finally understood my mom, and I was able to instantly realize why she did what she did, and I'm not mad at her anymore.
Wow.
So it's very powerful when you dialogue, and if you really are holding some unfinished business, put yourself in the other person's shoes and really allow yourself for that brief moment to channel that person's reality. And when you understand that person better, it really helps you let go.
Yeah, I can see why that would be powerful. I think we have a natural tendency to want to clear our hearts of the negative energies that are there, whether it be resentment or anger or, you know, refusal to forgive, all of those things. We yearn to be free of it and to really respect yourself enough to work on getting rid of that negative energy is a wonderful thing. It doesn't help anybody to hold on to it.
That's
it doesn't
right.
help you most of all. To be free is to begin to grow spiritually as you have never grown before.
So, and they can help us. You know, that's the other.
They want to help us. Yes.
I mean, they want to help us. They're here as our spirit guides. The minute they leave their bodies, they're here to help us, not only just support us and hold our hands down the bumpy roads of life, but to help us grow and evolve and really fulfill our purpose on earth, which is what? To perfect our ability to love ourselves and
that's
others
right.
fully.
That's right.
And they're here to help us with all of this.
That's right. Yeah, it's impossible really to learn how to love until you first learn how to forgive completely.
Mm.
That's why loving and forgiving are the two primary things that we're here to do. Forgiveness has to go with it and has to really come first because until you let go, and again, forgiveness is for you. It's never for the person you're forgiving. You don't even have to tell them, I forgive you. You don't have to deal with them ever again, and you don't have to approve of whatever they did.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to release. Just forgive and let go and release.
And one really good way to getting there is understand. Understand and accept that person did as best as he could or she could. And that's on the path, you know, to moving through all of this and getting it behind you. So tell me this.
It's so important. It's really critical that people know this. And it's distressing to me that, I mean, I hear from people, and so do you, Jamie, who are holding on to negative things because and with perfect justification because what was done was terrible.
Terrible. We want to say unforgivable.
Matter. Yeah, there is nothing.
No, it's Roberta. What is so interesting, I just heard my husband clearing his throat. It was actually, it was a sound that he used to make. And I haven't heard this. It was so bizarre. It was his way of saying that he's very present in our conversation, that he made his presence known. He cleared his throat. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
or else I'm losing my marbles. It could be that.
Well, it could be a little of both, though.
So tell me, speaking of that, is it possible to maintain a real relationship between the dead and the living? What do you think about that?
Oh, yes. It is possible. Whether it's a particular person's voyage is another matter, though. Because
that's
like
a very
any relationship.
Good distinction. That's a very good distinction you're making because yesterday I was doing my Hay House radio show, and a woman called me up, and she said, should you maintain a relationship with a deceased life partner? Should you? Now, that's a very significant thing when somebody says, should I? Because if you're listening to yourself, there are no shoulds. You're doing what your heart tells you is right, what feels right to you, you know?
Yeah. I think that for most people, it's enough. Even if it's been a wonderful marriage or a wonderful relationship, it's enough to you know, establish the fact they're fine, I'm fine, you're fine, we're all fine, and then to go on and look forward to seeing them as one of your deathbed visitors. For many people, that's enough because we have a full plate as it is and responsibilities to people who are living and love responsibilities, you know, grandchildren and coworkers and all the people who are in our lives. So for many people, just that confirmation that they're fine is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, though, the dead really want to keep these relationships going, and they do. I mean, I know of several cases where, and you're one of them, Jamie, where it's almost a closer relationship than it's ever been. Because
right, when you're freed from the vessel of your physical body, you're able to, and, you know, it's clear, we all have a purpose. Clearly, this is my purpose here. To have this relationship be, as Jean said, let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others. Because this way, other people will know through our story that we can, and in many cases, we need to continue our relationship. And, you know, like there are cases like where a parent loses a child. We need to stay in touch with our children. Children who lose parents, they need to stay in touch with their parents. And it's not about, oh, well, then you're not going to move on. It's the opposite, because when you feel the peace and the joy that comes from the reconnection, you are more able to re-enter your life and be more fully present because you're not so drowned out in grief, you know?
Yes. Yeah, whatever the future of the relationship is going to be, getting rid of the negative aspects of grief is very important. Keeping the positive memories and keeping the love in your heart, that's That's what you want to do. But the raw feeling of grief, and there's nothing worse than the terrible grief for someone that you really love who suddenly isn't there anymore if you don't understand what's happened. That's the most awful feeling. But once you understand that they're fine, they've basically just gone through a door and they're right on the other side of the door and even closer maybe than they've ever been to you before. When you get that, it's very freeing. And then you'll know if it's right, and you and your loved one will both know if it's right to keep a close relationship, and there are many ways to do that, or whether it's enough to hug and then say, I'll see you, you know, when I get there.
Yeah, and you just, and there's no shoulds. You just do what your heart.
No shoulds. Oh, that's right.
You may need the person to guide you, to be your, you know, to watch over you. You may need to just check in more often during periods of stress or when you're in a transition. Or, for example, if you're an older person and you don't choose to form another relationship, you may need to. But the thing is, even you can still have a new relationship and still maintain connections. It's like somebody staying friendly with an ex-spouse. You were still friends. We still have a relationship, but I remarried all the same, you know?
The people that I know who have kept this relationship going most intensively have a partner, like you. They have a partner who has gone ahead or a loved one who's gone ahead who before birth, you know, everyone planned that they were going to work together after one of them had died. And I know of at least two other situations where that's clearly the case.
It's interesting because that's one of the first things Jean said to me after he left his body. You cannot die. We have so much work left to do together in our ministry. That's what he said. And when I looked at him, ministry? What ministry? What are you talking about? I'm an atheist, you know. I didn't know what the heck he was talking about, but of course it all unfolded, and then I came to understand what the ministry meant, you know.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, this is not about any religion. And I think it's important that people understand that you're not betraying whatever your religion is when you try to understand what's true about reality. Because religions are a belief system to comfort you and strengthen you and help you on your way. But they're not meant to block you from understanding what the truth is. You know, Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And this, I think, is what he meant. Once
That's
you know
it.
The truth, you're free from so much grief that we have as human beings who think we live this little speck of time and then life sucks, then you die.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's true. Absolutely. And the thing is, I mean, Jean said also, we're all one family. We're all one religion. That religion is love.
Yes, he's right.
It's not about a particular denomination or sect or any of that. We're talking about, it's sort of beyond religion. It's just love, you know?
It is.
Reconnecting to love. God is love. Your loved ones in spirit are one with God. It's all love. So let's talk about this, because this is a really touchy topic, reincarnation. because, you know, I remember Jean always saying to me, I did ask him about that, and he just said, j'ai mis, with that French accent, it's boule, and then, you know, the rest of the word.
He didn't believe in reincarnation?
He did not. So I didn't understand if it was because the traditional Catholic view, and, you know, he had been a Jesuit priest for most of his life, the traditional Catholic view is that you start out in the spirit form, you have a short ride in a body, and then you return to your spirit form where you started, and that's where you abide. So I don't know if the reason that Jean said to me it was bull, you know what, because he knew that he was done, that he was going to leave his body, and then, you know, he was so evolved, he was in that highest state of nirvana where you don't reincarnate in a body again. He knew he was going to just remain in spirit and continue this work with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's obvious from the afterlife evidence that reincarnation happens, but it is nothing like what we embodied believe it is.
It's sort of like everything's happening at the same time.
Everything is happening at the same time. All of history is happening simultaneously.
Right.
Very some hard upper level beings have said, yes. Do not even think about reincarnation from your perspective because you cannot begin to understand
it. It's not like our brains can't fathom the fact that you could be, people think, oh, you left your house, you moved, well, he won't be with you anymore. You know, it's like they're everywhere. They can be here and there and here, and by locating and they're everywhere.
What seems to happen, one of the best descriptions of what actually happens in reincarnation came from a sixth-level being who said, and this was said more than 100 years ago through a channel, said, the easiest way for you in body to understand reincarnation is to think of it as a vat of water from which each lifetime is dipped and then back into which each lifetime is poured. So all of our lives are happening simultaneously. All of history is happening simultaneously, and our lifetimes are actually influencing one another, which is why Brian Weiss, who is a psychiatrist who was a pioneer in the field of past life regression therapy, which works beautifully, by the way,
mm-hmm.
he would take people back he has someone in his office who's got a phobia or some weird psychosomatic illness or something, and he would basically put them into trance and then say, all right, now go back to the period where this started. And he would find that the person who was claustrophobic had been buried alive or,
mm-hmm.
things. And once you remember one of these, whatever caused this issue,
mm-hmm.
you immediately lose the problem in this lifetime, which is why it's really worth doing if someone has a big issue. But he sometimes wouldn't find the cause in the past. It would just be blank. So then he started saying, okay, take us to the future lifetime where this problem started. And he would find that a lifetime today was being influenced by a lifetime 200 years from now.
Isn't that wild? That
yeah.
is like mind-bending wild.
It is.
Wild.
It really is.
I know. Anita Morjani, who wrote Dying to Be Me, was on Ask Dr. Love Radio, and she was talking about the fact that she had this relentless jaw pain. So she did the past life regression and figured out it was something where she was in chains or something, and
yeah.
she released it instantly. And from there, she just became just obsessed with the past life regression work that from her own healing experience. She told me that on the show.
Yeah,
so.
It does work. But the thing for people to understand is that this is a new science. We're talking about a whole new wave of physics, which
mm-hmm.
will, I think, within this century be taught in schools. It's
mm-hmm.
consciousness-based. It's the third wave of physics. It's going to be the way that eventually quantum physics and Newtonian physics will be united in consciousness,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is something that I several of the most prominent quantum physicists have basically predicted this.
That's what you want to see. So
let
me take
what's going to happen.
A break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Dr. Love's Quickies.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, men don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, Mary needs to turn on what I call green lights, nonverbal signals that let a guy know you're ready to go. Most guys won't approach a woman unless they're sure to not be rejected. So ladies, if you want to kick your love life into high gear, make your signals clear. Turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
You are listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To submit your questions to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, sign up for her free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and get the details on how you can connect with her on Google Hangouts or YouTube during her live broadcasts, or listen to the archived show at WebTalkRadio.net. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Love's book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her proven 5-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed over years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven, no-hype, no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem and shows you how to reignite the spark and rekindle your love. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. And now, back to Dr. Love.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love Radio with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I'm talking about the afterlife experience with my wonderful guest, Roberta Grimes, author of The Fun of Staying in Touch. So, Roberta, Let's talk about the question that people must ask you often. Is the death of children different from the death of adults?
Yes, it is. The first thing for people to understand is that we plan our exit points. We plan into our lives usually 2, sometimes 3 exit points that we, our higher consciousness, can choose to take. And nearly all of our deaths actually are planned in advance. That being said, I have to add, that's true of the deaths of children as well. There are upper-level, very advanced beings who choose brief lifetimes and then very early deaths, as in infancy or childhood, as a gift to the people around them, as a gift to their parents and their siblings. It's a gift. I know that's hard for parents to hear, but it's true. Children who die, and this includes aborted fetuses, by the way, children who die will grow up there in absolute love. They are so catered to. I mean, again, Jesus said this too, you know, the children of such is the kingdom of heaven. Children are elevated there above all and grow up to be so happy. So someone who's lost a child needs to understand those children are loved beyond a measure in the afterlife, and they grow up to be young adults, which is a reason never to have an abortion, because the aborted fetuses will be waiting for you as young adults will call you mom. And when I first understood that, I never had an abortion. I said, no way would I ever, because there's no way to get rid of the minds that have already attached to your body. And so you don't ever have an abortion. But the children who have died are virtually always advanced beings. They usually will have a sibling, although not always, so that parents are not left bereft. But that's a gift. And to learn from and grow from the gift of a child who has, it's a lot of nuisance to become a baby and be born when you don't have to be. But these people didn't need a long lifetime here. I have so many stories about that I could tell you. Mm-hmm. People who had twins, and one of the twins was a pain in the neck, and the other, you know, and would pull the cat's tail and stuff, and the other twin was such a lovely being, and the cat would come sit in its lap. Well, we know which one, you know, died at the age of 2. He didn't need any more life than what he had here. And it was a gift to his family in so many ways. They only now, many years later, understand.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's very interesting because I tell the story in Love Never Dies of my father's wife's sister, who had a morbid fear of herself dying and leaving her 2 children abandoned. And the first year after Jean left his body, I told her a lot of stories about his presence and that really they don't die, they're still here with us. And she said it comforted her somewhat. The following year, that was the story I told, where I went to Thanksgiving and nobody told me that she had experienced a spontaneous abortion and lost the baby that she was carrying. I only knew she was pregnant. And I walked up to her and I said, I hear you have big news, meaning you're pregnant. And she burst into tears and she proceeded to tell me that she lost the baby. So at that moment, I actually heard the baby saying that she came to her and left in this way as a gift to help her realize that she could reconnect and really overcome her fear of death and dying. So I began to talk to her about this, and she said it was so comforting to her to, you know, look at it in this way, you know.
Wow, because what a great story.
But you know that this cost me dearly, because it was after this whole thing, you know, that she said, I have so much peace over this and I love it. On her way home, she started to cry. And her husband said, why are you crying? And she told what happened with me. And this became the family war, you know, where my dad said that I destroyed her and I'm never allowed back in the family. And it was hell, you know, and I lost my connection with my father and that whole side of the family over this. But I knew that the whole point of this story, and I went out on a limb and I told her, and I know that she was so comforted to realize this child was sent as a gift for her to reconnect and heal her grief and discover in the process that her daughter is here. And when I said daughter, I just knew it was a girl because the baby in spirit told me so, and then she confirmed it was true. Yeah.
Wow.
That was quite a story. But
it really is.
Intense, but very, very true. Yeah. Very true, what you're saying.
You keep having these awful things that have happened to you.
It's all part of, it's like sort of in the service of love, this is what happens, you know?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It had to be. Because it's funny, Roberta, the week before it happened, I prayed to Jean, please remove any obstacles to our ministry. And then a week later, this is what happened.
Yeah.
You know, so it was really meant to be.
I was just going to say, when we think of things as negative in our lives, they can become negative. If you think of each thing that happens as you're going about your day as potentially a gift, it can become a gift, even though it looks negative in the short term.
Yes, because everything is happening as it's supposed to. And even if it seems painful, and yes, it is painful to be disconnected from your family, but I realize, in the big picture, we're all here for a reason, and this is my work, and you can't be around people who are constantly poo-pooing what you're doing and putting it down. So it had to be like a boil that was excised, the family that just had to go.
I would say, too, to your listeners, obviously Jamie and I have found and are in the bliss of doing the work that we were born to do. And if you think that you might yourself have some work and you're just not sure what it is, and I hear from people all the time with this question, how do I find it? The answer that I always give them is just give your life to God, because when you do that, God will give you your work that you already, it's your work. It's already laid out by you.
I know.
And God gives it to you then.
Exactly. And the funny thing too is right after Jean left his body, Roberta, I started getting this message from him, do God's service. And then from that day on, whenever I go in the car, and that's true for this to this day, cars will pull up in front of me with the license plate DGS.
Wow. That's great.
No matter where I go, DGS. And it's often more than one.
People are often afraid that maybe God will want them to do something yucky, but I've never heard a story where God wanted us to do anything other than what was perfect for us and joyous. What I tell people to do is just pray in affirmations, a gratitude affirmation every day. Just say, thank you for giving me work to do. Thank you for showing me how to do it. That's how this started for me. I had no intention of doing any of this stuff, but I decided it was time to give my life to God because I'd had a lot of good blessings. So, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want. Thank you for giving me work to do. Thank you for showing me how to do it. Within 2 months, I was writing The Fun of Dying without ever having thinking I thought I was going to write a book. And all that I've done since has all come from that. Every day I pray that still.
I know. And, what comes through whenever I talk to you is you are love, Roberta. Your heart is just, it's just filled with love. Every word that comes out of your mouth is love. You're just like an open channel, really.
Bless you, darling. I so appreciate that.
It's so true. Even when you're tired, even when you're overworked, that's just who you are.
Well, it's just, but again, anybody listening can do this. You can give your life to God, and you will be given back your life, pressed down and running over. It is amazing how happy it makes you when you are in this flow of God's love. And I couldn't do this myself. I have to just say, okay, I'll do whatever you tell me, God. And it's amazing how God gives you wonderful things to do.
So in the morning, you kind of just say, use me. Use me up and spit me out, right?
But the point is, that's what people worry about in a way, that God will just use them to some purpose that maybe doesn't even matter to them. What it does when you give your life to God is it puts you into the zone of this flow of love, as you say.
Yeah.
A perfect love that you just are filled up with, and you just have to give it out to everyone out of your own joy. And the more you give love, the more you receive it.
Oh,
the happier
yes.
you are.
Right after Jean left his body, I wrote a poem about the more you give love, you become like a well that's overflowing. Like you pump the well and it empties it, but then it can be filled again with more love from God and Spirit, our loved ones and Spirit. So you become a well that's overflowing as your love continues growing in this way.
Yes. Oh, totally. And the more you, it's not only not a zero sum game, but love is an infinite sum game. The more you love, the more you are loved, and the more love is in the world.
Yeah.
It's just glorious to be part of that flow, just a little tiny. Mother Teresa said, I am a little pencil in God's hand. And, you know, if she's a pencil, I'm a little pixel on God's computer.
Yeah, pixel versus a pencil. Grain of sand, a pixel. That's so sweet. You're so humble, too.
Well, no, I mean, as they say, I have plenty to be humble about. But the beauty of it is, none of that matters. You just get emptied out of anything negative, and you get filled with joy. So I urge everybody to do that. God only wants you to be happy. That's all God wants, and wants you to be happy in doing the love, the love work that is going to make you happiest.
And then, you know how sometimes people will feel depleted, you know, I'm giving, I'm a nurse, I'm a caretaker, I'm a rescuer, and I just feel sucked dry. So how do you make the distinction between I'm giving and I get sucked dry versus I'm giving and I feel filled?
If you're doing it from God, you'll never feel sucked dry.
Exactly.
The more you do of what God is telling you what to do, the more you do that, the more you feel full of joy and full of energy.
Yep.
I mean, I'll soon be 70 years old. I feel like I feel younger than I felt when I was 25.
Absolutely.
Back then it was only me, and now I've welcomed the world into my heart. And there's just no limit to the energy you have then. If people feel that they're being sucked dry, I would just tell them, you know, step back and just let go and let God do it. Because then
that's it.
You'll be full of love, and there is so much energy in that love. You have no idea.
I know.
It's the powerful thing there is.
I know. So tell me, just as we're coming to a close, because we just have a few minutes left, 3 minutes, what do you most wish that everyone knew about death and the afterlife communication that we're talking about?
Well, the first thing to understand is that human minds are eternal. We never began. We never will end. Therefore, there's nothing to be afraid of. What the Christian God, the sort of negative God images, turn out not to exist. We found no evidence of that. What we have found is that the actual God is an infinitely powerful energy-like potentiality that is nothing but love, the most intense love, and our minds are part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So even if people seem unloving around you, it's just that they haven't recognized their true nature, which is nothing but unbounded love.
Mm.
And if you can help people discover that in themselves, think of what a glorious thing that is for the world.
Oh, my gosh.
If each of us does our part,
and just spread love, bring love, be love,
yeah.
Just be a living instrument, a living, breathing instrument of love. So tell everybody in the last couple minutes how to find you, what you'd like to promote now, what you're up to, okay?
Yes. RobertaGrimes.com is my website. I also do novels, and my books are there. And they've just posted the cover of my third book, which will come out in 2016 or 2017, which is going to be the Fun of Growing Forever. And we'll be talking about a lot of these topics in that book. I also do podcasts. If you go to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes on iTunes, they're available for free, and we have nearly 200,000 subscribers now. People are interested in knowing the truth about these things. And I have a new Seek Reality podcast on Web Talk Radio, which there's a new one up every week, so I'd love to have you visit us there. What else am I doing? That's a lot, I think, right?
It's a lot. You could get pretty tired, you know, in all this, in your love fest, you could get very tired.
I don't know. As I said, I think I get more energy from it than I could ever imagine giving into
mm-hmm.
it. But also, please read my blog. It's on my website, robertagrimes.com, and I talk about a lot of these things there as well. I love hearing from people who have read my blog.
So everybody can reach out to you at your blog or at your website.
Yes, I answer emails with it. I tell people if you don't hear within 24 hours, send flowers.
That's adorable.
I love hearing from people.
You're pushing up the daisies if I don't hear
right. Right. Thank you for having me so much.
Oh, I always love having you. It is always such a blast. So that's all I have for you this week. And then I think next week I'm going to talk about how we can keep our New Year's resolutions, because it's getting to that point, you know, a few weeks in where people start to really like poop the bed when it comes to the resolution. So I'm going to talk about that. Roberta?
Yes.
I thought I lost you already. I might. Are you pushing up the daisies? I have to send flowers?
No, I was just enjoying thinking about the fact that I never did make resolutions. And I
don't have to
worry about keeping them.
All right. So I'm going to not say goodbye. I'm going to say so long to you and everybody listening. I'll see you next week.
A hug to everyone.
Everyone. And see you next week on Ask Dr. Love.